SMA News Today, daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy.
Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 15. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Joining us today are Byron and Mariah Potter from Spearman, Texas. Byron and Mariah are the parents of three children, two of whom have SMA. Byron is also the pastor of First Baptist Church in Spearman. So Byron, Mariah, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Thanks, ma'am.
Absolutely. This will be fun. So we, for our listeners out there, we met at the Cure SMA conference this year, and I reached out to them and said, I'd love to have you on the show. So we're just going to be talking about their lives, their family story. Without further ado. So Byron, Mariah, just to start off, if you could just talk a little bit about your family story and just how you were introduced to SMA.
You know, it's funny, Kevin, we were introduced to SMA, through Mariah's sister.
Really?
She was pregnant at the time, with their, third child. And, she had some complications. They went in, they did some testing, and they were concerned because she was a carrier for SMA. And so at the time we kind of Googled it and we saw what it was and we thought, man, that's crazy. Well, her husband was not a carrier. And so we didn't think anything about it. And then had we had Lucy at that point?
Yes.
Lucy, how old was Lucy at that point?
She wasn't a year yet. She's probably 8-9 months.
Okay.
So she wasn't really having any symptoms at that point that we really noticed. I mean, hindsight, she did have symptoms, but at that time. We didn't think anything of it.
Oh, and that's the other thing. Can you go over your kids' names and the ages, which ones have SMA, which one doesn't?
Okay, yeah, we have three. Ellie is our oldest. She will be 8 years old in 2 weeks, and she does not have SMA. And then we have Lucy, who just turned 5, and she has SMA. And we have Lincoln, and I'm terrible at this. How many months is he?
He's 16 months,
and he has SMA.
Gotcha. So, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, I think at the time when her sister, we found out she was a carrier, Lucy was like 8 or 9 months old. But at that time, Lucy had, like Mariah said, hindsight, yeah, there's some things there. But at the time, we didn't notice anything.
Right. And then what was the process like once you did started noticing things and kind of where it went from there to diagnosis?
Probably, I think about a year old, she wasn't pulling up in her crib, like, you know, most kids do, and she could stand, but I always had to put her in a standing position, and she could crawl. She started crawling at 10 months, but it was really hard for her, and it was really slow, and so I think at her 12-month well check, we just kind of mentioned it to her pediatrician, and she was, you know, like, oh, well, you know, she probably is just going to take her a little bit. And then by 15 months, it was like, okay, she's really not even, you know, close to what we feel like she needs to be at this mm-hmm. point. So then we did ECI with her. So a therapist would come into the home and we worked so hard. Me and Lucy, every day we worked and worked and worked, and there was just no improvement whatsoever. It was getting worse than better. And so I kind of had to get a hold of our pediatrician and be like, hey, something's not right. I actually had a friend that I sent a video of Lucy crawling to a speech therapist friend of mine. And she showed it to her her coworker that was a physical therapist. And through a text message video, her physical therapist friend was like, I think they need to see a neurologist. And so from there, it was still a couple of months before her diagnosis at 20 months. But that was really kind of what spurred us on, like, okay, we actually need to see a neurologist for this. So.
Right. Well, I'm curious too. So you said Lucy's 4, correct?
She's five.
Five,
she's
okay.
Yeah.
So, I know, you know, Spinraza wasn't approved till 2016, but still, you know, looking at kind of where the research was at that point, I'm curious what the diagnosis was like in terms of, like, what did the neurologist say to you? Because, you know, back when I was diagnosed, I mean, there was no hope at all, et cetera. But I'm just wondering, you know, did they say anything about, hey, you know, I mean, yes, she has SMA, but there are drugs in the pipeline. Was there any of that, or was it a pretty just standard diagnosis?
Well, when we met the neurologist, you know, just for her to get tested for it originally, he basically was like, don't go and look this up. Like, don't go Google this. Don't be like, you know, like, don't get your information from this from the internet. And of course, that's the first thing we did.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah.
So, you know, so it was definitely hard because, you know, a lot of the stuff that you see is more, I guess, type one situation. A lot of times, you know, like the, you know, their life expectancy just doesn't seem that long.
Right.
And those type things. But, you know, he, since we live in the middle of nowhere, he called and gave us the diagnosis. And honestly, it's just like a blur. Like, what,
yeah, yeah.
Everything that he said, I don't think he went into a lot of details about, you know, that outcome. I
remember the initial, like, when we were, when he was assessing her, like, trying to figure out what was wrong. I do remember him saying, if this is what it is, that it's not like it used to be.
Yeah.
I do remember him saying
that. Yeah.
But as far as drugs and things like that, no, I don't remember a whole lot of that.
Gotcha. He wasn't a neuromuscular doctor, so he really wasn't quite in the complete know, I think, of what was out there for SMA. So I really don't know if he...
And I guess Mariah said we live in the middle of nowhere, and so for your listeners, at the time we lived in a town of 1,400 people, and we had to drive 3 hours to Amarillo, Texas, where a visiting neurologist was coming in. Yeah, and so we saw him there, but no, I don't remember that, you know, and I'm with Mariah, you know, I was actually in Amarillo picking up some things for my wife, and she called me while I was checking out buying chairs, and I just remember her wailing on the other end, and I'll never forget the way she was crying because I knew instantly, you know, the doctor had called back. And dude, really from that point on, it was just kind of a blur. I don't remember a whole lot of the rest of that night. I remember having a lot of friends from the church that we had only been at for 2 weeks at our house. That's it, man. I don't remember a whole lot after that.
Sure. I was just curious to see kind of like, because I always ask, you know, parents, especially about diagnosis, just to see what's changed in the years since mine and since others. So I was just curious kind of what that was like.
I called my friend Kathy Cole, and she, I didn't know, I'd never known her or met her before. I just knew we have a mutual friend. And this was the day after diagnosis, and she was the one that really was just like, there's so much stuff out there, there's so many things that they're testing, and it really is. And so she really gave me a lot of encouragement.
Right, right.
You know, more than the doctor did, for sure.
Right, right. Well, and that's a good jumping point. So, you know, after the diagnosis and getting over that initial hump, you know, what was it like from there once you started getting plugged in with the SMA community and kind of just adjusting to this new chapter in your lives?
Man, I don't know. Mariah was kind of a bulldog on all of it, man. I mean, I think
I'm mama though.
Yeah, she is mama. I've observed this a lot in the SMA community. The moms are just incredible. You know, they're strong, they're resilient, and she just immediately plugged into Facebook, found the SMA community online, which we're so connected. It's such a great, the SMA family is so great. You know, I mean, we share things with each other, and I mean, she just immediately got to work, you know, figuring out what we needed to do and what the next steps were. And we just kind of went from there. You know, I went to work and then I kind of came home and she would fill me in on what she'd learned, and I just kind of learned from her. I think the first thing, and I'll let Mariah say this, I think the first thing we did right after that was we went to work trying to find some sort of device so that Lucy could begin moving around, right? Yeah. Didn't we not go for that immediately? That was our first thing, was to get like a zip-zack?
Yeah, we got the little zip-zack was our first thing that we did. And then we did go to the conference. She was diagnosed in March, and we went to the conference in June. And it was just Byron and I that went. We didn't take any of the kids with us.
Gotcha.
And of course, that was just to see just other people that were, you know, just like us, and to meet people. And it's just, it was really good. And we got her first wheelchair at the conference. We bought just one of the floor model little Pantheras that they had. So,
which conference was that, dear?
Kansas City.
Okay, yeah. I was there. Yeah.
Very cool. That was the first one. Yeah, what was that? Was that 3 years ago?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Yep. Very cool.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, man, then from there, I mean, I think it was just, hey, we had a pediatrician in our little small town of 3,000 people. We had a pediatrician who was just incredible. And he just started studying and learning everything he could about it. And he took such great care of her and great care of our family. And so, man, it was never an issue of, you know, worrying about those things. Cause I mean, man, it was, if we needed anything in the middle of the night, like we were worried about lungs or anything like that. I mean, he was here, he took care of us. And so, man, as far as from a medical standpoint, I feel like, you know, a lot of that just really fell into place.
Sure.
And she was so little. I mean, she wasn't even 2 years old yet, you know, so it was just trying to kind of figure out, what do we need to know about what's going to happen to muscles and contractures? You know, all those little things that begin to take place. So it was just learning a whole lot in those first few weeks, months.
Right.
Well, and then, of course, on Facebook, everyone was talking about, you know, at that time, nusinersen and the trial. And and I was just like, what do we got to do to get her in this thing?
Right.
And we did. We immediately got a lined up with a neurologist in Dallas. And I remember – she was diagnosed in March. We went straight down there in May.
Yeah, we went there in May.
We're hoping to hear her say something to us about a trial, and she did. And I don't remember what happened. That Dallas trial was supposed to be a bigger trial.
It just didn't have that many open spots.
Yeah.
So there was just...
And I think that consumed us and really consumed Mariah initially right off the bat, was how can I get her in a trial?
Yeah, I was determined.
Well, I'm curious about that process too, because I mean, I was never on any clinical trials before I started Spinraza after it was FDA approved and all that. So what does that process look like? Yeah.
We thought that we were kind of on the list in Dallas, and it just wasn't going to pan out, and it got filled up.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Yeah,
and so, I'm going back to my speech therapist friend, my friend Stacy. She had a roommate in college, and she was like, oh my gosh, she has a daughter and they live in Denver, and she has type 1. And so I messaged her, and I was just like, I can't, this is crazy, because we had known each other. We, you know, hung out together. And I was like, this is crazy, because I actually knew you like before SMA. And she was like, you should come to Denver and talk to the research coordinator there, because her daughter was in for the type 1s. And then
what type does Lucy have, by the way?
Oh, she's type two.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. So when I looked at the map where we are, we're pretty much maybe 15 minutes closer to Denver than Dallas.
Real quick, we're closer to 6 other state capitals than we are Austin. just for the listeners out there. You know,
good to know.
I really live in no man's land.
Right.
And then during the Dust Bowl, it was called no man's land.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So she gave me the email for the research coordinator, and I emailed and said, hey, you know, this is our, what's going on. And she had turned 2 in July, and that was when they were accepting for that, you know, CHERISH study. And so, through all that, she an opening had just come open, and then in August, Lucy and I flew up there, and we did all the assessments, and then I think 2 weeks later, she's like, she's in, you know, let's get up here and get going. So by September of what year? 2015? Yeah. September 2015, we were up there to start the trial process.
Okay. Wow.
And, you know, of course, not knowing if she was going to be actually getting the drug or the sham.
Right, right. Well, and then when Lincoln was born, that was after it was approved?
That was after approval.
Gotcha.
Yes. And so, and then, of course, they, after they lifted the blind and they, you know, that Lucy had been on it. So she's been on it for almost 3 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's it been like since, like, I mean, I'm just kidding. So, because she started off at a young age, what kind of are some of the biggest changes with her that you've seen over the years?
I think primarily upper body has really gotten stronger. I mean, when she was diagnosed, she could hardly push herself up in a sitting position. She would be laying on the floor and, I mean, sitting on the floor. And if she fell over, she could hardly push herself back up. And now she scoots around all over the floor and she pops up. And when she's in her chair, she bends over and picks stuff off the floor and she pushes around everywhere. And
she started lately getting out of her wheelchair.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She'll get on the couch from her chair. I mean, she kind of just dives on it, but I'll take it.
Yeah, right. That's really cool. Well, well, I'm glad it finally, you know, after all the initial hassle, you were able to get her on it. That's really cool.
Yes.
Well, and we can talk more about this as well, too, later, but I wanted to talk as well just about your daily lives. So, you know, right now at the time of recording, it's about 8:30 your time. You guys obviously have busy lives. What is kind of your daily lives look both for you and, you know, your family as a whole?
Well, I mean, school started.
Sure.
So, you know, it's just getting kids up, getting them out of bed, and, getting dressed. Sometimes, you know, some mornings I can kind of just throw Lucy her clothes, especially if it's a dress. If it's a dress, she can get it on herself. And kind of do her thing. And then before she goes to school, I put her KAFOs on her. And when she gets to school, they put her in her stander. And so she stands up at school for her hour. And that's nice. And then I get her at noon. And we're able to kind of have our afternoons. And twice a week, she does physical therapy here in Spearman for 30 minutes. So we have that on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and, you know, but she just does her thing. She plays around on the floor and has friends over, and, I don't know. It's just, everything's just pretty normal and,
sure.
and stuff for us.
Yeah. We live a block from the school, so it's really cool. And so Mariah gets them ready pretty much. And then I walk the girls to school every morning, and I get it Lucy across the street. And then her big sister puts Lucy's backpack on, and Ellie takes her to class for us every morning.
Very cool.
And Lucy would prefer her sister to take her to class. She lets me know. we have a great little school system, man. They have gone above and beyond to accommodate Lucy, to love Lucy, to care for Lucy. This week, there's a thing out there. It's called the Power Wheels Wild thing, and I've noticed a lot of SMA families have picked up and have begun using it. And it's just a Power Wheels vehicle, but it's got two. You control it by moving two joysticks with the hands.
Oh, cool.
And the school let us take that up there for recess this week, and so Lucy plays in that at recess, and all the other kids chase her around in it, and they want to get in it, and the school keeps it for us up there, and so yeah, I mean, Lucy's just about a normal pre-K kid as you can get when it comes to just the daily thing, sure. And then our youngest, Lincoln, he just runs around and he has mama all to himself for about 4.5 hours, and you know, he's good.
He doesn't leave my side most of the time.
I have an almost 2-year-old niece who's the same way. So yeah, she We keep her during the week. So yes, I know the struggle. Yeah.
It's such a fun age. It really is.
It is for sure. Well, and on the note of back to school, I'm glad you brought that up because especially for newer parents that, you know, have kids with disabilities, what's kind of the biggest advice you have for them in terms of getting accommodations, working with the school system? What are some of the biggest things you've learned in doing this process?
I think, you know, we had, I don't know if there's a name for the meeting. We just had a big meeting at the beginning of the year to just kind of discuss, and our nurse was there with us, the principal and the counselor. I mean, and the teacher, of course, and, sure. You know, and talking about kind of what she would need and, you know, what they feel like they would be able to do with us. And they have an aide that's with her all the time. So she has we call her helper. So she has her little helper.
Right.
To help her with whatever she needs. And I don't know. We've just not had any issues with our school. They have just done.
Well, I would just say ask. I mean, yeah, I think that's been the big thing for me is if there is something that your child needs, ask. And when you ask, just ask in a very kind way, in a polite way, understanding that, hey, they don't understand what it's like in our shoes and what we, you know, what we do and what our kids need. And I've done that, and it just seems like, man, everything we've asked for, man, they've went above and beyond to help us with where we cross to take the kids to school. There's no ramp. And a lot of that's just a small town. Mm. You know, you don't see those in small towns, but you know what? They have gone out of their way to try to get it done, to having an engineer come and look at how can we fix it. And you know, they're trying. And so I guess that's just been my thing is just ask, don't be afraid to ask, you know,
well, and if, need those things. If it's something that's not quite taken care of, you know, you kind of, sometimes you have to stay on people and that's okay. It's not, they're not doing it to be mean or anything. Sometimes you just gotta keep talking to people and asking people stuff to remind them because people are busy.
Right.
They're not thinking about your kid like you are all the time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, and then too, man, I mean, I think most schools, I've never been in a town where the public schools just been out to get the kids, you know, that they do everything they can to help the kids. And I think for us, that's been a big thing, too, is just trying to give her as much freedom and independence as we can as well to let her feel just, hey, you're just a kid. Go. Have fun. Be, you know, enjoy school. And that's helped me a lot, just being like, hey, it's just another day. It's school. You're going to school like all these other kids. Let's go. If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I think that's key. Also, I think the meeting you had, it would either be an IEP or 504 meeting.
Yes, it's 504.
Thank you.
Because we did it 2 years ago. She did pre-K 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And we did that meeting then. And so they were like, if you don't have anything new that you want to do, we don't necessarily have to have the meeting again. And I was like, yeah, I think we're good. So we didn't do it this year.
And hey, I'll tell you this, man. Our nurse here, when we went into that meeting.
Oh, yes.
I remember somebody saying something about she'll be okay with markers and stuff. And I remember a nurse saying, no, she won't.
Yeah.
You know, she needs help taking marker lids off. And that was really, that was cool for me because I realized that our nurse had studied.
She had studied SMA,
and she knew what my kid needed.
She was prepared.
And that was really neat.
Because she definitely was worried about respiratory issues with Lucy, and Lucy has had none. She's never been hospitalized. She's never had pneumonia. She's really been great. So we've been fortunate with that.
Yeah. But that just showed us that she'd studied, man. Yeah. And it wasn't just something that she was like, oh yeah, this, you know, she did her research and that was good to know. And it makes me feel, hey, my kid's in good hands up there.
Well, that's really good to hear. Cause a funny story on that, actually, I think it was in high school one time for a 504 meeting. I had never met the OT before, but she showed up at my 504, and I wasn't at the meeting. My mom was, but she said that the OT came in and said, I don't really know Kevin. Does he walk? You know, so
that's, no, man.
That's really he good walks. When you can get one who is way on top of things. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Sally was on top of things.
Oh yeah,
that's great.
Sure.
It's been good.
Very cool. Well, and kind of on the note of school, work, and everything. So Byron, I wanted to ask you, you being a pastor, so A, that's not a 9-to-5 job. And then B, it also typically requires a lot of moving. So I guess just first off, like how you go about managing, you know, your duties as a head pastor and, you know, family of kids with disabilities. And then also talk about if you've ever moved after Lucy and Lincoln's diagnosis.
Okay. Yeah, man. I take the kids to school, and as soon as I come back to school, I grab coffee and I go to work. So I'm usually in the office by about 8. Being a pastor, and especially a pastor in a small town, you know, I don't have a big church. I'm not sitting here, you know, Joe Osteen in the thing at 40,000. You know, we got about 175 on a pretty regular basis, and so, man, my schedule's pretty flexible. So that's what's great is that I'm about 6 blocks from my house. If Mariah needs something or she needs me to come home for anything, I can just tell my secretary, I'll be right back. And so I've been blessed by that because, man, I can run home when I need to run home. And I can help out and I can be available for Mariah when she needs me. And the thing is, man, she doesn't really need me.
I don't need you very often.
Moms have it under control. They don't. Yeah.
I'm the high maintenance one in the marriage. Mariah's just pretty strong and sturdy, and she's got things under control around the house most of the time. But when she does, every now and then she needs me to come home, I can. I'm off every Friday. I work on Sunday, so I take Friday off, and I do my very best to be here Friday. And so that means I'm home most of the day. We'll have football games and things like that during the fall, and I go to those in the evening times. But man, Mariah and I always put our kids have been. Lucy went to bed at 6:45 tonight. Man, we put our kids to bed early. So I've just been blessed in that regard. My church, you know, I can't say enough good about them. When we were diagnosed, I had some men in my church come and say, "Hey, if you ever need to take time off, take time off." And so they've never counted. When I have to go, every now and then I have to fly on a Sunday to go to Denver. They've never counted that against me. They've been completely understanding about that. And so as far as just the day-to-day, it's pretty manageable. It's good. And again, my wife shows me a lot of grace and lets me work, knowing that I do need to work. But then the other thing, as far as moving goes, Kevin, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about it.
We haven't moved since diagnosis. We've stayed here. We've been in Stanley since she was diagnosed.
And I haven't thought about it. I don't want to move. My kids are happy where we're at. And I realize that being a pastor, there comes a point sometimes that usually God says, "Hey, it's time to go somewhere else. I've got need of you elsewhere." But our plan right now is to be here as long as we possibly can. You know, if my kids could graduate from the town that we live in, then I'm good with that. If we did move, though, I think it would be something that I'd have to be upfront from the beginning with that. Hey, you know, I do have 2 kids with special needs. This is something that you need to be aware of. And then I just kind of leave it up to the church at that point. You know, I think most churches, that's not going to scare them off. Like I said, that's a really good question. I thought about it, Kevin.
I was just curious. It's interesting because, you know, I know – live pastors, it's rare to stay, you know, super long at one church. And so I was just wondering if you had at any point since the diagnosis, but that's really cool that you've been able to stay.
Nope. We've been here for over 3 years, 3.5 years.
Yeah, I'm going on. Yeah, I always count it by football seasons. So I'm going on my 4th football season.
So weird.
Man,
it's Texas. It's football in Texas.
Yeah, it's like football, Jesus.
No, stop.
Okay, Jesus football, but still. anyways, man, but yeah, you know, right now my mindset has just been, hey, this is where we're at, and you know, as well as they've taken care of my family, I just keep thinking there's a lot of days I just go, man, I don't know why I'd want to do anything else because they've just been so gracious to us.
So. That's really cool. Well, I'm glad you have that in place and everything. Those are, you know, my main questions and topics I want to cover. Is there anything else you wanted to say either about, you know, like one topic we did not hit was travel. So you've been going to the conferences the past few years. Do you have any tips or, you know, stories related to that about traveling with two kids with SMA?
I don't know.
I got that, two girls, man. Bring a portable potty seat.
Oh, my gosh.
that would be great. Man, not really. You know, things have been – not really. I mean, man, other than the fact that, hey, you know, I've got one kid that we have to carry in places –
well, she gets in her chair.
Well, she gets in her chair, but, you know, Mariah, it's usually better if Mariah has her because when you're traveling, you stop at a gas station. Dude, you don't realize how nasty men are until you have a little girl, and then you really don't realize how nasty men are until you have a little girl in a wheelchair and you have to take her to the men's restroom, and you're like, don't touch anything. Just don't. And so it's easier to travel when there is Mariah because she can take her to the women's restroom. Yeah.
Well, and you know, traveling with Lincoln, I mean, he got Spinraza at 27 days old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you wouldn't think that he has SMA
right.
when you see, because he's just running around and doing his own thing. So, I mean, he's just like, I guess, another kid pretty much. Other than, you know, we have to make trips to Denver every 4 months for him to get
his injection. That's really when I remember he has
Yeah,
SMA.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah, you still have it. We still got to take you there.
We still got to take you.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
Got to get that needle every 4 months, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Well, and we're fortunate because Lucy is still in the extension study for the trial, and so all of our trips to Denver, our flights and any food, the hotel, all of that stuff is paid for. Still, because she's in the trial.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, and that's still about five more years, I think. Probably about four more years that she's still considered in the trial. So,
yeah, Lincoln.
And the hospital is amazing to coordinate with us, where both of them get their injections on the same day. So we're not having to go like, oh, Lucy's going this month, and then Lincoln's that. You know, like we go and they get their injections on the same day.
That's really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, that's a lot of fun. Yeah. You know, if you've got two of them and they're both injections on the same day, that's a joy. I mean,
It would be, if they didn't have to be sedated, it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
So, because, like, when you get yours, are you, like, just awake through everything?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they're just like, be really still, Kevin. Don't move.
Right. I don't know how I would do with that as a kid, but. I can do it now, but yeah, and I get mine cervical injections, so it's in the neck, but they just say stay still, and then it's over before I know it, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with the kids, they have to be sedated, and it takes a while, and they wake up, and they're cranky, and it takes like three hours.
We take our oldest every now and then, and you know, and Denver Children's has been very accommodating, but you know, she can't be back there while, you know, the whole time while we're waiting, and so.
Right.
I'll have to take Lucy or Lincoln and wait, you know, and then whenever they're done, you know, then Mariah can go back with the other one. And so it's
fun.
That's been a lot of fun, but man, it's worth it. And I'll put up with the inconvenience that it causes in order for, you know, my children to continue to get just a miracle drug at this point, you know? So.
Sure. Well, that's really cool. And just wrapping up here. So, you know, you talk kind of about this, but is there any advice you have for other SMA families or parents of SMA children out there?
I mean, I guess hope, right? I mean, when you say Mariah right now, just know that, I mean, especially if maybe somebody's listening to this has just been diagnosed, and there's so much hope out there right now. I mean, it's not like it was years and years ago, is that, man, there's so much research and things being done, and it's so encouraging to see all the cool stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
So I would say that would be first and foremost. And then secondly, I would just say, man, get plugged into the community through Facebook, If you can go to a conference, go to a conference. I mean, that to me was probably one of the greatest things we did, was to go and see I'm not alone. I've got a lot of family and friends, and I do. I have an SMA family now that I love dearly. You know, they're fighting that fight with me, and they're right there with me. And as my child gets older, I'm excited that she'll get to know people. I mean, like you, Kevin, and others that just she can relate to, and that she can have experiences with and friendships with. And, you know, to me, it's just that there's a lot of hope, you know, that's it. I don't. Yeah, that and take care of your backs, dads. I threw my back out this last week, and I have not been able to help. And that is
no, it's annoying.
So so dads, like, mind your own health as well, so that you can help mom out. But there you go. That's what I've got. I don't know what Mariah was saying. I'll let her have it.
I don't know. That sounded good.
No, did it? Yeah. The back part, even, right?
Yeah, definitely the back part. Yeah.
I'll have to tell my dad that one, because he's a UPS driver. So that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, where your bag breaks, bend with your knees. That's funny.
Yeah.
No, I think those relationships are just important, especially for moms. I'm in a group Facebook message with a lot of moms. I think most of us are from Texas, and it's just nice to sometimes just either, hey, pray for this situation that's going on, or vent about this, or some of them have a lot of kids with the type 1, and so they talk in a way that I don't understand, because they're talking about machines and things that I don't know anything about. But then it also shows me how amazing those moms are.
Oh, man, they're incredible.
Those moms are amazing, but yeah, just have your relationships and your friends and just do whatever you can to just keep going. You know, I'm ready to see what some of these other trials are going to come up with, and different things that's still out there. So, you know, keep up on all the research and all that too.
Sure. Very cool. Well, no, that's great. And, just wanted to thank you both again for coming on today. This was great.
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks for letting us do it. That was great.
I'm glad we met you at the conference.
Absolutely. That's... No, it was great getting to know you. And also, did you guys have any social media accounts you wanted to share out there where people can find you?
We have Cure SMA for Lincoln, and Lucy May is our Facebook page.
Okay.
I'm not the best at updating it, but I do sometimes.
No, she puts a couple posts a month.
Yeah, I do. So I need to do better.
But yeah, I think that would be our big one.
Yeah, that's kind of our main Facebook page.
We're both on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah. I mean, if you want to follow us individually.
I mean, basically, if someone that's in the SMA community adds me and I'm like, oh, they, you know, either they have SMA or they have a kid with SMA, I'll add you.
Sure. Yeah, my
Facebook down. So if you don't have SMA, you're not on my Facebook.
Yeah, you're not my friend.
Right.
Just try to keep up with those people on Facebook. I got Twitter for the other stuff, but anyway.
My friend requests grew exponentially after the conference, so yeah. But
You got way popular.
You speak at one panel and then tell about your podcast and all that, and everyone wants to add you.
Oh, man.
Very cool. Well, to our listeners out there, definitely follow the Potter's Facebook page. And for more stories like this, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. All episodes are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, and here on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also check out the SMA News Today YouTube channel and the SMA News Today forums, and follow us on Facebook for daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Community Editor for SMA News Today.